Hello, and welcome to the G2 podcast.
So, first off, I'm Kat. Hello, and I do have three children, Isabel, Reuben, and Eleanor. So, I do have a picture of them prepared. I'm a mum. Any opportunity I get, I love to talk about my kids. So, this is a picture of them when they were a bit younger than they are now. So I thought I'd open up today by telling you one of my parenting stories, and I must say it's not one that puts me in the best light. So when they were younger, Isabel had gone to school, she was six, Reuben was four, and Eleanor was two. It was a weekday, so I took Reuben and Eleanor to Piglets, which, for those of you that don't know, it's an adventure farm in Strensel in York. It's one of those farms where it's more about the play area than it is about the animals. We regularly went and didn't see any animals, so I'm not really sure you can call it a farm, but that's where we went. So we arrived, Eleanor declared she wanted to go to the beach. Now, just to be clear, Piglets had a beach. It wasn't one with the sea, obviously, but basically like massive area of sand. With it being spring, I was like, let's not go to the beach, and we settled on the sandpit. So Reuben and Eleanor went in and played in the sandpit, and I sat with my book, as you all know, I like reading, out literally at the entrance to the sandpit on the bench. So they played in there for a little bit, then they came out, we chatted, we had a cup of tea, had the Kit Kats that I brought with me, very resourcefully, and then they went back and played. Reuben came out chatting for me for a bit, and then I looked up, and Eleanor was not there. Bear in mind, she was this age. She's not like she is now. She was tiny. And I suddenly had a bit of a like, oh, sugar. And I said, Reuben, you just go check in the sandpit. Just go check behind that slide. Just check. She's not hiding behind there. And Reuben goes and comes back and goes, no, Mummy, she's not there. So the panic is slowly increasing. And I'm going, right, okay, what am I going to do? I'll check the beach. Maybe she went to the beach. No, she's not at the beach. Panic rising again. And I'm now looking everywhere going, where is my like 18-month-old, nearly two-year-old sugar? And there in the distance, I spot her coat, which was quite a bright coat at the time. And she just attached herself to another family. And she was just sat playing very happily in the sand across the park. Luckily, the relief, I can tell you, was like immeasurable. She clearly like had more freedom than I'd actually given her. She'd taken it and she'd gone with it. So freedom, that's what I want to talk to you about today. It's a word, I think, that we use a lot in church, but I think it's also a word that comes a lot outside church as well, in the news and various things. So like where we talk about like our civil freedoms, our freedom to speak and say what we want to say and do what we want to do. But what does it actually mean and what could it look like? So I'd just really like you to just take a minute on your tables and just have a quick chat about what it could look like and what it means to you. I hope you've had a good, interesting, if but brief, discussion on your tables. So there's you. I asked my kids what they thought freedom mean, and Reuben and Isabel, the two oldest, they were like, oh, well, being out of prison. And Eleanor said, cat. To which I went, you what? She went, freedom, cat. I was like, what? And then I remembered that our next door neighbour's cat is called Frida. So I think she just got confused. I must admit, these are some of the things I thought about when I thought of freedom. And I think particularly the one that comes to mind is the one with like your arms open like that. That total freedom, feeling of freedom. So as I was thinking about this mulling over, I thought, right, where do we go next to look at it is? The dictionary. Well, or the modern day dictionary of Google. So I Googled what freedom means. And that tells me that there were two definitions. One is the freedom to write, to act, speak as one wants to. And the second one was to the state of being imprisoned or not being imprisoned even or enslaved. Right, great. So now we've got the clear. We're going to look at our passage for today. So if you've got your Bibles with you, feel free to turn to. We're going to look at Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 16. So just to let you know, this is a book in the Bible that's written by a guy called Luke, who also wrote Luke in the Gospels. So just so you know for context. So Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them to the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they'd been severely flogged, they were then thrown in prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all of his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave and go in peace." So for a bit of context, this story in the Bible takes place after Jesus' resurrection. Paul is a guy that used to be called Saul. Saul is a Roman citizen who basically liked to kill Christians. That's what he liked to do, is his job. Until he had a little trip to Damascus, met Jesus on the way. He was blinded, healed, became Christian. You can check it all out in the same book, Acts chapter 9, if you want a more detailed story. It's a good story. And then what he does is he, instead of becoming a killer of Christians, he basically becomes like a salesperson for Jesus. He goes all over telling everyone he can about Jesus and what he's done. He wrote in the Bible, he wrote a lot of the books that we've got in the New Testament that are kind of letters that he's written to these new churches that are just starting. And we're told that he chose Silas, the guy that's with him, to go around and visit these places. This trip that he's kind of on at the moment is the second trip. He's going around for the second time. He had the first time with a guy called Barnabas, but they had a bit of a disagreement on who to take with them. So even as Christians, we all disagree sometimes. So they decided to split. Barnabas took Mark, Paul took Silas, and here we are. So they've been on a bit of a trip. They've ended up in a place called Philippi, which is the leading district of Macedonia. And we're told that they stayed here for several days, and on one of these days, this story took place. Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds like quite a busy 24 hours. My 24 hours doesn't normally look like this. We've got a lot going on. We've got arrests, we've got flogging, we've got healing, let alone prison breakouts. But I do think this passage does leave us with some questions as well. I mean, the first one, the obvious one that I have is, why didn't Paul and Silas leave? if it was me and I had been arrested for doing something that God wanted me to do, and unfairly arrested as well, and then I was sat in my prison cell, praising God, there's an earthquake, my chains fall off, the door literally swings open in front of me, I'm not going to be sitting there. I'm going to go. I'm going to take it as that I think God is telling me, you're free, go. But I think this is where Paul and Silas have a different idea of what freedom is and what it really looks like. Now, I think this passage talks to us a lot about different kinds of freedoms. It crops up all throughout. So I just thought, if that's okay with you guys, if it's not tough, sorry, I'm here for another 10 minutes. You can listen to me. We're going to go through all these different types of freedom and just see what it says. So let's go right to the beginning, yeah? And I think that we can briefly look at here, we've got the freedom of oppression and the freedom of speech that's talked about. So we're told they're going to a place of prayer that's just outside the city gate. I think we can assume they're going to pray. And that's a fairly safe assumption that they're going to do. And they're confronted by this woman, this slave woman, that has a spirit in her that starts shouting at them. And we're told it goes on for days as well. Now, we're told that basically, I think she's like a bit of a fortune teller. Now, this is like, so AD starts in 2000, right? No, zero. I'm not smart. So we're talking like just over 2,000 years ago this happened. And people still make money like this today. So it was a common thing back then as well. But this woman isn't free. We're told she's a slave. She has physical owners as well as having that spirit within her. So I do think this strikes one of those other tricky questions that I think comes up in this, which is, why did Paul stop her talking when she was saying the truth? Because they were telling people how they could find the way to freedom. And I think the truth is this, really, that although not all things that are true are good. So it's a bit of a rough example, but go with me on this. So this is kind of like how I think it is. My son likes football, so this is where I'm going. So I want you to imagine two football players, right? Football supporters. One is York City. And they've got thank you. It's a bit of support going there. So one has got, they've got the full shebang. They've got the shirt, the hat, the scarf, the full whack. And the other one is Manchester City, who I knew I was going to get in trouble whatever team I picked. So I think it's fair to say that they're like one of the best teams, if not the best team. This is not my personal opinion. This is judging by the fact that I think they've won the Premier League several times. They're kind of near the top of the Premier League. My husband tells me there is a game playing today to decide who is going to be on the top of the Premier League. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. Don't worry. And where's York City? For those of you who don't know, we're quite down, aren't we? A lot of leagues below Manchester City. I don't know how many leagues in football there are, but, you know, we're talking way down. And I want you to imagine this York City person fully dressed in the gear following this Manchester City fan going round going, Manchester City are the best! Manchester City are the best! And just following for days and days and days. Now, it's kind of like, if you look at it that way, it's kind of a little bit taunting. Because, yeah, it's true, but why would someone fully dressed in full-on gear of York City be going around saying Manchester City are the best? It's a bit weird. To the point where if you keep doing it again and again and again, one, it's taunting, and also, like, it's confusing. And it kind of starts to take away from people that are listening that Man City are the best, because it just all looks a bit weird. So there you go. Very weird example. But go with it. But anyway, I think you can also say in this point as well that Paul and Silas had their freedom of the right to speak, their freedom of speech impinged on as well by this woman going around shouting. But God had the last say by freeing her. And the Bible doesn't tell us what happens to her after this. But we do know that her owners were not happy. I'm guessing this girl made quite a lot of money for them on the side, which they weren't going to be getting anymore. And here we come to the next aspect of freedom, the physical freedom. because they're not happy, they drag Paul and Silas in front of the government, and they then like rouse the crowd up to say, oh, this is awful, and they get thrown in jail after being beaten and flogged. And we're told that not only were they locked away, they were like extra locked away. They were locked away inside and their legs locked up, so they weren't going anywhere. And then we see that final freedom, spiritual freedom. And this passage tells us how we can get it. The jailer was given a job to watch the prisoners carefully. So you can imagine how he must feel when he wakes up and the cells are open. I'm not surprised he didn't even check, because as I've said to you before, I would have gone. I would have been out of there. And such was the shame that he felt that that was what he did first of all. He went to try and kill himself, because he would have likely have been punished, maybe killed, but he wanted to take that step and do that. Now, when I read this story to my 9-year-old, that was the thing she was most shocked about. She was like, he tried to kill himself. Because that, to her, she just didn't understand why something that wasn't your fault, you'd want to have that reaction. But I think as adults, we get that a little bit more. We get how that might have felt like. But Paul and Silas, they stopped him from doing that. They shouted, come in, we're fine, we're here. And I think it's also key to notice here that not only were Paul and Silas still there, all the other prisoners were there as well. They hadn't gone. We'll come back to that later. Now the jailer saw what Paul and Silas had, spiritual freedom, and he wanted it. He goes, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? And Paul and Silas just says, believe in the Lord and you'll be saved. So he does. There and then goes, and he doesn't just say it for himself, his whole household, they go, and that night they are baptized. That night, there and then, they want to make that mark. I am free. I am a believer in Christ, and I want it to do so today. Kate and Lewis today, they're going to take that step, and they're going to say, I am a believer in Jesus. I am free, and I am saved. Now, I could end the talk there. Say, isn't that lovely? Isn't it a nice story? Isn't it great? Happy ending. They're all free. They get to walk away. But that's not quite the full picture of the story, I think. I think this, not only does this passage tell us how we can get spiritual freedom, it shows us how we should live in spiritual freedom once we have it. So what does it truly mean to live in spiritual freedom when those other freedoms are taken away from us? We're told in the passage that Paul and Silas were singing and praising to God whilst they were in chains. They had been beaten and flogged before going in there. They're likely to have been bleeding, been in pain, smell. And yet there they were, still praising. I think we'd all be shocked to find someone like that still praising when they're like that, when they're bleeding and they're in pain. And there they are still with a smile, praising Jesus. But Paul and Silas, although they weren't physically free, they were spiritually free. And they knew that that miracle of the earthquake wasn't to set them free, but to set the jailer free. Such was the witness of Paul and Silas's true freedom in the place of imprisonment that others paid attention. The prisoners, the people in the cells, they didn't go when the cells were open. They wanted to know more. And the jailer, he would have heard all that singing and praising. And maybe he had questions before he fell asleep. God might have used the earthquake to wake him up. Now, can you imagine being that joyful in the face of such pain? Because this is the gift that we are being offered. To be truly free, despite what may come at us. Jesus died on a cross, conquered death, so that you can be set free and live in this freedom. Do you live like that? Do you live in a way that you don't need to be fearful because he's with you? Now, you might not know Jesus. You might never have heard of him before. But let me be honest with you, he knows you. And no matter what you may think, he loves you. And he smiles when he looks at you. He wants you to have this true freedom. The question is, do you want it? So we've just talked about a passage, like I said, that was set over 2,000 years ago. So what could it look like today? We're in 2024. What could it look like? because what happened to Paul and Silas might happen in some parts of the world, but it's unlikely to happen here. It's definitely not part of our day-to-day. So I just want to tell you about my friend Rob. So Rob is a guy I knew from our home church. He helped out with our youth group. And he was a top-shot lawyer before he got diagnosed with brain cancer. And then after he was diagnosed with brain cancer, he found Jesus. He became a Christian. He sometimes, when you spoke to him, he used to say that getting cancer was the best thing that ever happened to him because it led him to Jesus. He was that kind of guy. And he was healed, though he was warned that it could return again at some point. And then he got married. He had three little girls. And then really sadly, when all those little girls were very little, he got diagnosed again with brain cancer. And sadly, this time he died. But in the painful moments before his death, he would tell anyone he could about Jesus, doctors, nurses, all the people that came to look after him at home. He would just keep praising and telling them how wonderful this guy was that turned his life around. And they told this story at his funeral about how someone had gone to pray with him right at the end, and he was in so much pain he couldn't even talk. But as he was prayed for, he lifted his hand in praise. I always think of that verse in the song 10,000 Reasons. On that day when my strength is failing, when the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending, 10,000 years and then forevermore. Because ultimately, Jesus gave us that freedom from death's sting. Death's not the end. Because of Jesus, we don't have to live in fear of what's to come. Because he's gone ahead and he's conquered it all for us. So I think this leaves us with two questions. One, do you want to live like this? Do you want that freedom and peace? And two, if you've accepted Jesus and chosen to live with him, are you living this way? Free and praising in all circumstances? Because it's the right he has given you. All you have to do is believe and be saved. That's it. Now, I'm going to lead us in a prayer in a minute, and I'd love for you guys to pray with me. I know some of you here today won't know Jesus, or have never talked to him before, but I just want to say to you, if there's any part of you today that's thinking what I'm talking about could be true, or if there's any part of you that thinks, I'd maybe like to know this Jesus guy, find out what it's about, then I just really encourage you to pray this prayer with me. You haven't lost anything by giving it a go, but if I'm right, think about what you could gain. Think of how free you could live. And if you do want to talk more, if you want to follow Jesus, please feel free to come and speak to myself or Josie or Hannah. Heck, you might even want to get baptized today. There is still time. Like, we haven't done it yet. The jailer did it there and then, as did his whole household. No pressure, though. So, guys, if you'd like to stand. And if you'd like to, if you'd just like to pop out your hands. And what I'm going to do is, if I pray this prayer, and if it's what you want to do, I just pray, Lord, that you echo it in your hearts. And I'll just pray it slowly. Jesus, thank you that you love me. I'm sorry for all the stuff that I've done wrong. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please come into my life and help me live in your freedom.